But why don't we turn to Hebrews this morning, Hebrews. And you know where we've been in chapter 11, by faith, by faith, by faith. And we've had a great time spending some time just contemplating that. And this morning, kind of pick things up in verse 5 of chapter 12 of Hebrews. And we're just going to go through a few verses there and contemplate some things that I think are going to be encouraging for us as Christians and help us in our walk with the Lord, though we will kind of pass through this part of the scripture again in just a week or two when we catch up to ourselves a little bit as we finish out that portion of faith. So we know we've been talking about faith in chapter 11. We know that that's the context of things. And then it gets into, hey, don't forget, you know, you've got this great cloud of witness, these people observing in the first part of chapter 12, and that we're to keep our eyes fixed on the author and finisher of our faith, the person of Jesus Christ. So we're kind of in that spot where we've been going through by faith, this has happened, by faith, this has happened, by faith, this has happened, all these different things regarding the faith journey that we're on. And then we're to keep our eyes fixed on the author and finisher. And it talked about the cross itself, that he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And this is what is the greatest part, is right in the middle of verse 2, it says, who for the joy that was set before him. So Jesus has done what he's done with great joy. You know, the cross, even though it was for sure the most challenging and the most difficult thing he'd ever been through, for sure, as God-man, but it was because of his love. You are that joy that was set before him. You are it. You are that of which he was fixed upon in the midst of the cross and the suffering and the shame. He was fixed upon you as an individual. He loves you as a person, and he wants you to spend all eternity with him. That's his whole objective, is to connect with you. And, you know, as we get into this, then it says in verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility, speaking of Jesus, from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. So it's kind of putting it into context, basically, your struggles and my struggles oftentimes in our walk or our journey with God. We face difficulties. We have challenging times. As we know, and as we can even experience even this moment, the reality of living inside this tent and how frail it can be and the difficulties associated with that. And that Jesus says, hey, look at the kind of things that you're going through. You know, we have to consider the person of Jesus Christ, what he's gone through on our behalf. Keep our eyes fixed on him. And then it goes on in verse 5, because sometimes this gets into good theology. Brothers and sisters, this is really important. Good theology. You have, I have, we have a heavenly Father. So it doesn't matter what your dad was like here on this earth, you and I have a heavenly Father. If you had the crummiest dad, or you didn't even know your dad, you have a heavenly Father that you can know, that knows you, that loves you, that knows you from the foundations of the world. Before time and space, God knew you and has a purpose and plan for you. You belong to him as a Christian. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you have a heavenly Father. One of our struggles that we find that we have as believers, oftentimes, this side of things, is that oftentimes we can equate, or we look at God, the Father, as what we perceived from, and what the things we got from our father here, our earthly father. And so this gets into some really right theology, because we have to be careful. This transcends the concept that you might embrace from what the example you had as a father. Maybe it was a great example, and I will high-five you all the way into eternity with that. That's awesome. And this message is kind of encouraging dads, wherever you're at, you know, whatever stage you're at in being a dad. And even as parents, being parents, how important this teaching particularly is regarding a right understanding of who our Heavenly Father is and how he deals with us. This ties directly to faith. The bridge will be built clearly, and you'll see the connection between how you perceive the Heavenly Father and your faith journey. It's a bridge that must be constructed, and we got to stay on the right bridge, okay? You don't want to get off on some other tangent with it. You want to see it in the context. This is sandwiched between the idea of faith, the hope that we have of eternity with our Heavenly Father, and then all that is encompassed in the love of God in chapter 13. So it's amazing, but we have all three. The triplets are showing up for us again, just like we see them throughout the scriptures. Again, this is kind of Pauline style, and I'm not trying to sell you on the fact that Paul wrote this. I already know that, but I'm not positive. None of us are, but we believe that it's likely possible. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit wrote that, just like all the scriptures. But faith, hope, and love. Always we see the triplets showing up together through the scriptures. It's fun to look for, but they show up together. Well, so as we look at this, let's look at this in verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. So this is the exhortation from the Father speaking to us as sons and daughters. My son, do not despise the chastening or the discipline of the Lord. Don't despise it, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. When God disciplines us, or when God chastens us, or when there is a rebuke by the Father, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. In other words, there is an element of discipline that transpires for all of us as children of God. This is where you get into faith and the connection there. Oftentimes, wrong theology can lead me to a wrong understanding, theology, the study of God, a wrong understanding of God can lead me to draft a wrong conclusion about my relationship to my Heavenly Father and His relationship to me. Why does this keep happening? Why is this going on? Our lives are giant question marks sometimes, right? Aren't they? Why is this going on? Or why did that happen? What about this struggle? Doesn't God know? Doesn't he see what's happening? I'm struggling. I'm suffering. This is going on. That's happening. This is, doesn't he know my plight or my circumstances? Doesn't God care? These are real questions that real believers have. And it's important that we have a real solid theology when we're in those difficult seasons and difficult times, because they happen to all of us. Do not despise that chastening, that correction that we experience when God kind of says, hey, that's enough of that. Or, hey, you've been on this path and you know the spiritual law, like the spiritual law of sowing and reaping, right? We live certain ways. Now, prior to being a follower of Jesus Christ, many of us lived very much in the world, and there were consequences to poor choices we made. Slight amen. Maybe a few of us say, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, Pastor, no, you're the only one that was messed up. You know, I mean, no, we're all, that's us. But that's part of what we get together and we get to share together is, hey, man, that's who we were. That's not who we are, hopefully, but that's who we were. Now, what we've got to make sure is we take with us that right conclusion of who our Father is. That those things that transpire, those things that we did, they kind of play out. They have ramifications. Things go on in your life. Things go on in my life, right? Things happen. And there's an end result of that. But sometimes the Lord will chasten us because he wants to redirect the path of our life because he loves us and he cares about us. I can't tell you the number of times, especially with raising three sons, that I had sat down, and I know my sons are going to do the same thing. They will sit down with their sons, and they will talk to their kids at a time, and there will be times where something will be going on, a situation will occur, and the discussion will always be, well, so-and-so down the street, my friend at school, they get to do this or they get to do that, and I'll never forget. And I'm telling you, my Heavenly Father's done this with me many times. My earthly father did this with me regularly, and I found myself, all of a sudden, I'm saying this to my sons, and all of a sudden, I realize, I'm my dad. You know what I mean? It was a weird revelation all of a sudden, you know. But the thing that would say is, you know, Jim, I know that they do. I know that's going on. I know those guys are doing that. But I don't want you doing that. Well, but so-and-so's doing it. I know, but those, they aren't my sons. I didn't get it as a young person. I didn't understand what my dad was saying. I knew there was a distinction that my dad was saying something to me. You know, but now, when I had to say that, all of a sudden the lights came on. No, I don't want you doing that. Yeah, but so-and-so, I know. Yeah, but so-and-so, I know. Well, how come, what's the deal? You know, they're not my sons. Think about that when you read this portion and contemplate the heart of that. God loves you. And God loves you individually, who you are as a person. God loves you. God cares about you, and God cares about the course of your life and my life. And so he's willing to tell you, hey, look, that path is cursed, and I don't want you to suffer the ramifications of that. Stay off that trail. That trail's cursed. He doesn't want you, he doesn't want me to suffer the ramifications of a bad choice. He doesn't want that. As we read on, if you endure chastening, if you endure that correction, God deals with you as with sons. When you get it, when I get it, God deals with us as his kids. The idea is this: you and I need to understand that God's raising a family. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, God's raising a family. If you're a Christian, you're his child, and he's raising a family. So when you come to him and say, hey, well, so-and-so can do this, you know, they can, you know, and they say they've got grace to do that, that's fine. But he will whisper quietly in your ear, you know, you're mine. I love you. It's not that it, at the exclusion of loving someone else, but he's just saying, I love you, and I want this for you. I don't want that. I want this for you. It's the idea is getting it into our hearts and minds. Connect the bridge with faith. Because when we're going through a difficult season, a season of correction in particular, it can be very challenging. When we're in a season of correction, when God's redirecting and doing a corrective work in our lives, it can be very challenging. And faith can be very much tested because we start to question, does God know? Does God care? Does it even matter to him? But he's allowing it because he loves you and because he's got a purpose and a plan for your life and because you're his and he's raising a family. And so he's wanting to mature you and mature me. He's wanting us to develop and grow. And sometimes the very thing that helps us to grow is that element of correction. When he says, you know, that's enough of that. I'd rather you not do that any longer. And our role is to respond. God deals with you as sons, for what son is there whom the father does not chasten? And I notice this when we read in verse 6. It says, for whom the Lord loves. Love is always to be the motivator for discipline. That's very, very, parents, please hear me on this, how important that is. Love is to be the motivator in discipline. I understand the frustration. I understand the anger that wells up sometimes. That is not the motivator for discipline. Cool your jets. Did you hear what I said? I mean that seriously. Cool your jets. God means that, seriously. Cool your jets. If that means you need to go for a walk, go for a walk. Because the very time you start lashing out and it's in anger, you're out of the will of God. You've missed it. You've missed the whole bus because now you're lashing out and that's not what God does. It is so amazing. I am so grateful. I am so thankful for an earthly example that helps me identify with a heavenly example. And why I'm saying this is because some of us, you may not, it may not have gone right the first time around, but some of you have grandkids now. Some of you have kids that are raising kids. Some of us are in that spot. And you want to encourage them to do it this way, because this is God's way. Discipline is important. Correction is important. But it is to be meted out of the love that is the driving mechanism and the force in it. My dad used to come in. I had a crummy little black and white TV in my room as a kid growing up. And I didn't have an iPhone. I know it's hard to believe, but I was very old when I got my first iPhone. Just an older kid, I suppose. But the idea is I'm sitting on my bed watching TV, and when my dad would walk in and push the little button, because that's the way they were. You had to operate them manually. You had to turn the channel. There was no such thing as a remote. Those things didn't exist. You had to get up if you didn't like something and turn it. You know, it really took some effort. Big strain. It's a wonder. Anyhow, but when all of a sudden he'd walk in and the TV would go off, I'd be like, woo, I think he must have found out about that. You know, because I'd know what was going on, but I was wondering what he knew. You know, because the TV would go off and he'd sit on the bed next to me and he'd look at me, son, we got to have a talk about something. Oh, man, I would have much rather just gotten a whooping, but I was older then, you know, at this point in time, and that wasn't going to connect. I would have rather had that because it was painful sitting there and just looking at my dad's eyes. You know, I know about this. And I could see he was not pleased, you know, and that hurt me. That's the Heavenly Father we have that's looking to you, looking at me, saying, hey, look, that's the discipline. That's the love that's saying, hey, I want to correct this in your life. This is going to need something corrective. Something's got to get straightened out here. And notice the TV went off. I need 100% of your attention, Jim. I want you to hear me on this. And he would explain to me very painfully, you know, what it was, where the error, where I made a left turn when I was supposed to go straight type thing. If we will listen and receive it, God will do the same for us. Again, isn't it a perspective? Do you see the connection with faith? Because with faith, I have to believe that even in the difficult, chastening times with the Lord, that God loves me, that God's working a purpose, that God wants to do something good in and through this difficult season, that it's out of love that God's allowing that difficult time to take place. It's because he loves us, because he's raising a family. That's so important. He's wanting to grow us up to be more like his son, Jesus Christ. But if you are without chastening, some of our buddies, remember how they used to run wild, of which all have become partakers, we were a part at one time, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Before we knew the Lord, we're running around just doing whatever. We're not legitimate in that sense. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect, shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? So I love the part, and then it says, and live. And live. You know, sure, we could say that has to do with everlasting life, and that's true too, but true life, real living is found in the person of God. That's where we really, because unless you are born again, right, the scriptures say, of the Spirit, unless you're born again, in other words, that's where real life starts, is when we're born again. That's when we really start to live. We can look back and think, oh yeah, well that was fun, or we thought we were having a good time, but it was emptiness. It was chasing after something that was never brought real fulfillment. And so now we see this, we say, yeah, I want to really live. We want to have, shall we not much more readily be in subjection? That idea of subjection is be submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Be submitted to a Heavenly Father. Submission. Be in subjection to. That means I agree with God, even in the midst of correction. I don't try and excuse it. I don't try and explain it away. I don't try and self-justify my actions. I just say, you know what, Lord, that was me. I threw the rock through the window. Okay. Well, look at you guys. You're looking at a guy who spent a whole summer working every day at the busiest park in the center of our town. Every day in the summer, I had to go down there. I'm picking up trash, wandering around. I'm 15 years old, and I'm wandering around doing that because I got busted for growing marijuana. That's no joke. And I had to spend the whole summer. My friends are out running around, throwing footballs and everything. Yeah, hey, Jim, how's it going? Yeah, how's it going? I'm picking up trash. It stunk. It was horrible. It was a rough summer, I'm telling you. But man, that's life, right? I had plenty of time to think while I was stabbing that next piece of trash, man. A lot of time to think about it. But the idea was, man, being subjection to understanding, hey, man, you know what? I threw the rocks. I was growing the weed, you know? So this is what happens. It's illegal. Thankfully, that's really mostly what happened, other than a few hours in the holding tank downtown. But that was thank God, that was the worst of it, really. But there was correction that took place. It's important for us to embrace that correction and see it in the right light, be in subjection to, be yielded and connect with it, and actually then live, ultimately. For they indeed, for a few days, our earthly fathers chastened us or disciplined us as seemed best to them, for sure. But God does this for our profit, that we may be partakers, ultimately, of his holiness, that we might be like him, that ultimately we might grow up and become more like him. He's raising a family. Our God is holy, righteous, just, and true. And God wants you and I to be partakers of that. Now, in verse 11, no discipline seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Embrace it. When God, even through someone, opens the word and says, hey, look, you know, I'm not so sure, you know, you're seeing this quite right. Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. That's an honest, true thing. As you're walking around the park of life, picking up the trash, doesn't seem very joyful. Doesn't seem, you know, it's kind of painful. It's kind of a bummer, you know. But, man, when we take it in the right heart, nevertheless, afterward, when we are receiving that, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. The idea is allowing God to train us. See, we call ourselves disciples, and rightly so. That's a correct biblical term. As a Christian, you and I are to be considered disciples. But a disciple is what? It is a learner. Consummate learner, always, 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 always learning, always growing, always gaining more understanding, always learning. And that's why we want to be trained by it. This is the thing. When we had a poor example at best of a fatherly correction and so on, when we've had that, we naturally, it's natural for us to equate God the Father as that's the way he would deal with things, as what we saw exemplified for us right on this earth. Now, that's a double-edged sword. Part of that is we've got to adjust our thinking so that we're seeing it from God's perspective, from the Word, from the heart of God, as a Father who loves with a perfect love and corrects for the correct reasons and does so for the right end result, right? Okay? He's not lashing out because he's angry with you. You see, sometimes people wonder that. I just feel like maybe God's just upset with me or something. You know, tell me about your life. You know, tell me what's going on, because that may not have anything to do with it. And it really boils down to theology most of the time. How are you perceiving him? And a lot of times we're looking at God through the eyes of what we saw growing up, right? Now, that's one part of the sword. The other part of the sword is, now, wait a second. You have an opportunity. I have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to handle this in a way that will exemplify the person of God in a right way in the eyes of our young people, those around us, those young people that are in our lives. We have an opportunity to exemplify that in a right way, that they might see the love of God and correction, if you're willing, and correct love and a right understanding. We have an opportunity to undo that, to do something that's going to be seen in the right light. So I think, you know, like for me, I didn't have a lot of trouble, even though my dad was a far from perfect guy, believe me. But on a lot of levels, I had no trouble just walking around and seeing God in a fairly biblical perspective, because my dad functioned that way. My dad functioned under biblical principles. Now, he was more of a church-going fellow, you know. Wasn't necessarily, he didn't have some radical close walk with God. Wasn't some, you know, sold-out Christian, you know, growing up. That's not the way we lived. You know, that wasn't what he was. But he did have good principles, good moral fiber and character. This is many years ago, right? This is a long time ago. Some of you grew up in a more religious home. It doesn't matter whether it was Catholicism or it was, I grew up in a Methodist church. It doesn't matter what the brand of it was, but there were principles in that started to give us a little bit more of an insight into what the right perspective might be. But what I'm saying is that, man, the Bible declares something so clear to us about the right heart of a father. And so when you're going through difficult times and there's chastening in your life or something's happening, man, make sure you're looking at it from the right perspective. You've got a father that loves you, and now by faith that we've just learned about, been learning about in chapter 11, by faith, we're to embrace that. Jesus said in Luke's account, when he was talking with the centurion, that there was no greater faith that he had seen. No greater faith. And it was because of what the centurion had said. The centurion had said, look it, I'm a man of authority, the centurion said. I have men who I tell them to go and they go. I tell them to come and they come. I understand how authority works. I have men under authority. I am a man, he said, as a centurion, under authority. I have people that tell me what to do. I'm a person under authority. And he said, so Jesus, all you have to do is say the word, give the word, and it'll happen. He wanted his servant, one of the people that worked with him, healed. The centurion did. And Jesus said, man, no greater faith have I seen. Actually, there were two places in the scripture that Jesus marveled, and that was one of them. Two places, and that was one of them where Jesus marveled. He looks just stood back, wow, man, that's awesome. That's, to me, that's marveling. That's my modern translation on marveled. Wow, that is great, man, that's awesome. Yeah, your faith, because, so he's connecting the idea of submission, right? Yielding to authority, he's connecting that to an act of faith, isn't he? Jesus is. And here we see the same thing as we've got this whole chapter on faith of chapter 11, and all of a sudden we go into this chastening, this discipline, and the authority of God, and they're so closely connected. Because so often, this is where the theology goes wrong. We start thinking we're having a difficult time. It's kind of, we start going into the moon and the stars aren't lining up and things aren't going my way. And oh man, it's all bummer. And you know, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. You got a father that loves you. He knows what's going on. He's going to keep track of you. And I just think a right understanding of that will really help and benefit us. That we would get a good perspective of our dad, our heavenly father, Abba, Father, our heavenly father, who loves us with such a perfect love, who wants the best for us. And even in those difficult seasons, is allowing those things for his purpose and his plan to ultimately come into fruition. So will you, in your quiet time, in the midst of your difficulty, will you sit and just listen for his voice? And I will bet, I would guarantee that he will come to you in that same voice and say, yeah, I know a lot of people in the world do all kinds of different things, but you're my son, you're my daughter. And you see, that means something to the Father. You belong to Him, and He loves you, and He only wants what's best for you. I think of the things that my folks stepped in on and prevented. Not everything, obviously, not everything, but they stepped in at the right time many times. And that consistent voice of love and correction. Young parents, you have an opportunity to be that kind of voice. If you have younger kids in your home, you have an opportunity to be that kind of voice. If you have nieces and nephews or whatever you might have, if you have little kids around you, whatever that might be, friends' kids or whatever, you have an opportunity to be that kind of voice that represents love, that starts to reflect. We're to be those light bearers, right, that reflect that kind of love and that kind of goodness. Father, we thank You for that kind of perfect love that You have for us. And we just pray that today, Lord, You would help us to see that relationship that we have with that right heart, that right motivation, Lord, that we would know that You love us with such a perfect love. Help us to see things from Your perspective. And Lord, thank You. Thank You for being a Heavenly Father that loves us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.